Well, welcome to our production of Daughters of Lilith. You'll want to have a program and a hymnal. You won't need to read your hymnal till the very last song, so you can relax a little bit. There is one mistake in the program that we need to call your attention to, and that is in the first part where we have the Eve to Lilith and Lilith to Eve. Eve will be played by Leah, and Lilith will be played by Hannah Brown. We hope you enjoy. Thank you.
Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water.
We are a people who love stories. In Jewish tradition, scripture would be enhanced by stories, midrash, written in the margins of the Torah by spiritual leaders. The story of Lilith, Adam's first rebellious wife, is one such story. The stories you'll be hearing now are a kind of midrash, taking scriptural stories of biblical women and weaving new stories from them. Linda Allen has put it together and written most of the songs, and she asks that you consider this a work in progress. So let's begin with the story of Lilith in a song, Midrash, followed by an imaginary conversation between Eve and Lilith.
Held the sweet smell of grain, and she leaned her back into a strong apple tree as her lover's voice called out her name.
For the first time.
stories told in our communities and schools, in our homes, in our religious institutions, and through the media. Give us our values and beliefs, and help us to determine our place in our culture. Among stories in our culture, few are as pervasive as the story of Eve. Whether or not you heard this story in church, undoubtedly you have heard it in the culture, and you have been affected by it. You know the story in the third chapter of Genesis, how the serpent tempted Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, how she and Adam then realized they were naked and hid from God, how Adam blamed Eve, and she was cursed with pain and childbirth. And this final statement, when God says,
"You'll want to please your husband, but he'll lord it over you." The man, known as Adam, named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living.
Following passage from Genesis 19, one of the texts of terror. It's the story of Lot's wife. Let's listen to the story.
In the evening, two angels came to Sodom. Lot was sitting at Sodom's gate. As soon as he saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed with his face to the ground. He said,
Please, my lords, spend the night with me. We can wash our feet, and in the morning you can be on your way again. Before the guests had gone to bed, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, every last male, young and old. Where are the men who are with you tonight? The mob of Sodomites shouted. Hand them over to us so that we might have sex with them. Lot stepped out to reason with them and said, I beg of you, my brothers, do not do such an evil thing. Look, I have two daughters who are virgins. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them as you please. The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire, but Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt.
So we all know how the story ends, but maybe, just maybe, it was her heart that turned to stone.
Hurry up, woman. Why are you slowing down? It's going to start any moment. The rest of the family is already there, and you keep lagging behind. What the hell are you thinking? I swear I'll leave you. I know you didn't want to go. I know Sodom felt like home after all those years of traveling. I get that. But really, woman, don't you understand that place is about to go up in flames, fire and brimstone? There will be nothing left. Can you imagine that? And it's happening any moment. What the heck is wrong with you? Okay, so maybe you're mad that we had a pretty good lifestyle in the big city and now we're moving to that little town of Zor, and you won't be the big man's wife with all the status and servants and land, is that it? You won't get to strut around town showing off your fine clothes and jewels, is that it, woman? You women are all like head full of cotton, no sense to you. So maybe you're still mad about the other thing. Your daughters?
Our daughters?
Look, woman, we had our honor to uphold. How would it look to some strangers to whom I had offered the hospitality and protection of my house if they got handed over to a mob to be raped? How would that look? That mob was crazy, and they'd come after us if I didn't give them something.
You offered them our daughters. Our own young daughters.
Of course I did. And if those strangers hadn't pulled us out of there, we'd all be dead. I really didn't think that mob would take our daughters. It was a calculated risk.
You were ready to give them our daughters.
Well, then be reasonable. We don't have time for this. God told me.
God told you. Your God told you.
Watch it, woman. Don't blaspheme. It's our God.
My God would not protect and reward one who would sacrifice two young girls to save his own hide and those of strangers who meant nothing to me. Nothing.
Just let the past be the past, woman. God told me that none of us can look back. What's done is done. Get over it.
My God remembers. My God would have us learn from the past. Most of all, my God loves and cherishes women, mothers, and daughters, and sisters. My God wears the face of the mother. Your God wears the face of vengeance and destruction. Your God is petty and arrogant. Your God places little value on women, and your God wears your face.
Woman, you blaspheme.
Say my name. Just once, say my name.
Useless woman, in God's name, I will strike you down.
Thank you.
Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah and had been widowed. According to Jewish law, she was to be married to Judah's son, Shelah, which would assure her survival and her inheritance. But Judah refused, and Tamar comes up with a plan. Here's the story as told in Genesis 38.
When Tamar heard that her father-in-law was going to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's garments, disguised herself with thick robes and a veil, and went and sat where the road to Enam branches off to the road to Timnah. When Judah approached, he saw her, but because her face was heavily veiled, he thought she was a prostitute. He came over to her and said to her, "Come, let me come into you," for he failed to recognize that she was his daughter-in-law.
The young woman sat by the gate of the town. Hey-ho, the gate of the town. The young woman sat by the gate of the town, wrapped in a veil with her hair hanging down. Hey-ho, diddle-i-o. There came an old man dressed in silver and gold. Hey-ho, silver and gold. There came an old man dressed in silver and gold, and he spoke to the woman so free and so bold. Hey-ho, diddle-i-o. Let me come to your tent, for you I will bend. Hey-ho, for you I would bend. Let me come to your tent, for you I would bend. And what would you pay me, this fair lady said? Hey-ho, diddle-i-o. I'll send you a goat on the morrow, I swear. Hey-ho, tomorrow, I swear. I'll send you a goat on the morrow, I swear. She said, give me your stuff and the same dish you wear. Hey-ho, diddle-i-o. The old man did lay with her, gave her his staff. Hey-ho.
The woman that Jesus met at Jacob's well in Samaria was triply despised. A woman, a Samaritan, five times divorced and living with a man not her husband. Yet it was she with whom Jesus engages in a theological discussion about water and worship. And it is she who becomes the first to preach. The story begins in the fourth chapter of John.
Jesus was passing through Samaria on his way from Judea to Galilee. Around midday, he came to the village of Sychar, which is near Jacob's well. Tired from traveling and thirsty, he sat down beside the well. He was alone, for his disciples had gone ahead into the village to buy some food. A woman came to draw water. "Please give me something to drink," said Jesus. "How can you, a Jew, possibly ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews were hostile to Samaritans. "If you knew the gift of God," said Jesus, "if you knew who it is who is asking this of you, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you living water."
If you know the song, please join in.
Just
A reading from the 5th chapter of Mark. There was a woman in the crowd around Jesus who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years. Various doctors were unable to cure her. After long and painful treatment, she had spent all her money and was not any better. In fact, she was getting worse. If I but touch his clothes, she had told herself, I will be well again. She came up behind Jesus, reached out, and touched the tassel on his garment, and she was instantly cured. Who touched me? Jesus shouted. The crowd is pressing upon you, said Peter. What do you mean, who touched me? But he searched the crowd, insisting, I felt power go out from me. I want to know who touched me. Trembling, the woman came forward and threw herself at his feet. Jesus said, My daughter, your faith was the source of your healing. Be free and go in peace.
He does not know my name, yet my
Jesus was a healer, moved by his compassionate heart to reach out and touch those considered untouchable. In the 13th chapter of Luke, we hear this story.
One Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. A woman was there who lived 18 years with a crippling condition that left her bent over double and unable to stand up straight. Jesus saw her and called her to come to him. Laying his hand upon her, he said, "You are rid of your infirmity." She straightened up immediately and gratefully glorified God. Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, has often been portrayed as a harlot or a whore, yet nowhere in the Bible is that written, only that she had been healed from unnamed infirmities. She was, it seems, a powerful woman who was close to Jesus. She's identified in the 8th chapter of Luke.
Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza. Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources.
When Jesus died, Mary was one who had the courage to stand at the base of that horrific cross.
From John 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene.
After Jesus' death, Mary Magdalene and the woman referred to as the other Mary sat opposite the tomb.
From Matthew 26. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in its own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
was his best friend, and I loved him long and well. From the Galilean mountains to the lonely edge of hell. And I loved him like a woman, and I loved him like a friend. But the very love that healed me just might kill me in the end. Waiting for the morning, waiting for the light.
Waiting for the morning, waiting for the light.
Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also there with him in the end. We don't know a lot about the mother of Jesus, and much of what we know is shrouded in myth. But what we do know is that she was young, that she may well have felt the rejection of her community when she was pregnant and unwed, and that she raised one of the most remarkable mystics and teachers that the world has ever known. Then she experienced perhaps the greatest pain any woman of any age could know, to see her son tortured and murdered. Is that she lived in Nazareth, about 5 miles from Sepphoris, a town destroyed by the Romans about 4 years before Jesus' birth. She was raised under the iron fist of the Romans, and that may well be reflected in her words in the Magnificat from Luke 1.
The
has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty.
Mary knew about the dangers of empire. She raised her son to live by the words of Micah 6, verse 8, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Let's now close this midrash on the courageous daughters of Lilith and Eve singing together this hymn, inspired by the words of Mary. It's the Canticle of the Turning on page 723. Would you turn the house lights on so people can see their hymnal, please? Hymn number 723.
Take a village. So thank you all for honoring me for coming, and Enjoy. Thank you.